Our famed cherry crop is just about finished ripening here in Michigan. Now, growers are preparing to harvest grapes in a couple of weeks. Michigan's wine industry is in a state of steady growth. This week, a team of judges came to East Lansing to cast their votes in the 37th annual Michigan Wine Competition. Current State's Kevin Labrie is here to tell us more. Not the first time you've covered the wine competition. I'll point out to our listeners it's an admirable sacrifice, Kevin.
You got to take one from the team sometimes. And, you know, each time I go, I have nary a drop, much to my chagrin. Michigan has more than 100 wineries, Mark, 107 actually. Most of them are concentrated in the Pinky, the Traverse City and the Leelanau Peninsula region. The judges came to Michigan State University Tuesday to evaluate the state's best wines. The medal ceremony will be held at the Kellogg Center at MSU next Thursday. And when I was there, I spoke with Linda Jones. She's the executive director of the Michigan Grape and Wine Industry Council, and she told me that the wine industry has seen huge changes here in the last 30 years.
Originally, when the industry started, we were making wine from native grape varieties that are used primarily for jams and jellies. And then as the industry has matured and evolved, they started planting hybrid varieties. And then in about the 1970s, we planted the European varieties, vinifera varieties, which are known to consumers. Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, those are the varieties that consumers are very familiar with. But until about 20 years ago, there weren't many plantings of those in Michigan. But now those are our dominant plantings, the vinifera European varieties. So that's one of the ways that the industry has changed dramatically in the last quarter century.
How does a discriminating consumer who really wants an educated opinion about what they're purchasing, to what degree do they pay attention to these competitions in terms of the homework they have to do?
Well, it is overwhelming as a consumer to go into the wine aisle in the store and see all of these choices facing you. And so competitions are a great way to pay attention to some of the award-winning wines. It's just a good subset of wines to watch for. The best way for people to understand what they like about wine is to go and visit tasting rooms and have a chance to taste many wines at once so they can compare and contrast. Talk to the tasting room staff to help them understand what it is they like and dislike about wines.
This is early August. The harvest is coming up in a couple, 3 weeks. How are we looking?
Well, we had a pretty severe winter, as we all know here in Michigan, that lived through it, and we did take quite a hit in the yields. And some varieties were hurt worse than others. So depending on what varieties growers have and what part of the state they're located in, some people have complete loss of production on a particular variety in their location. Some people have been unaffected by the cold weather because they had very hardy varieties planted. But we're expecting about 50% of a crop statewide on all the varieties. That's what makes wine so interesting. Every year is a little bit different. The characteristics of the wine are different, and that's why people like to follow the industries to understand those nuances. It's like limited edition art. You only get to do it once. You only get to make wine from that acre of Merlot this year once, and then that's all you get.
So even though your 2004 Cabernet Franc was splendid, was fantastic, there's no guarantee that your 2014 Cabernet Franc is going to even come close. It sounds like it's very up to chance.
Very much so, and that's why competitions like this are very important, because we have that exact situation where we have had wineries that won our biggest awards for a variety 5 years ago. They submit a more recent vintage, and doesn't guarantee that it's always going to do well every year. So much it depends on the vineyard management practices that they use in the vineyards.
I'm Joe Borello. I'm president of Tasters Guild International.
When you come to events like this, what are some of the basic elements you're looking for?
Oh, a lot has to do with the variety. And so we're looking for full flavor. We're looking for balance of sugar and acids and, you know, that kind of a thing.
Todd Steiner. I am an enologist at Ohio State University, so I do research on wine.
You're a brave man setting foot here.
Yeah, I know. Hey, go Big Ten, so that's all right.
What are you sampling right now?
We're doing oak Chardonnays.
And do you know which particular ones and where they come from?
Everything's blind, which it should be. So we can guess maybe a little bit on acidity, what region of the state it might be. But, you know, basically, as Joe mentioned, we're looking for varietal character, balance of fruit, oak, and acid. You don't want anything to stick out too much over another.
How and why does one become a wine judge, or affectionately in the industry, a cork dork?
Well, you definitely have to enjoy it. So, but I think the love of wine is definitely increasing. More wineries are coming aboard on each state. And, you know, I think it's one of our jobs to make sure that we can give as much feedback to the wineries. And if that's through medals, then, you know, they're well-deserving. That's a great way to mention to the consumer it's a good wine to drink.
At one table near the back of the room, I met Amanda Danielson. She's a restaurateur in Traverse City. And there was something not quite right with the wines she and her team had just sampled.
They were submitted as a level of dryness where they were actually quite sweeter. And they were disqualified as such because the category is very specific as to how much residual sugar is permitted if you're going to label it as brut.
And everybody at this table could tell right away there was something amiss?
Instantly. We actually paused for a moment. And as you know, as a captain, I never interrupt the tasting of the initial flight unless it seems that there's something wrong. Unanimously, we agreed that both of the first two wines in that last flight, there was something wrong. And then we brought it to the attention of the organizers and they handled it immediately.
So this was not a collective spontaneous taste bud malfunction?
No, it was not at all. This was, you know, years of beer drinking that has led us to believe that sparkly things, when they're misrepresented, should not be judged in a category in which they don't belong.
So 164 has a gold, 152 bronze, 185 gold.
Dick Peterson.
Well, I live in Napa Valley, and I've been a winemaker out there for more than 50 years, and I'm retired now, but my own brand is Richard Grant. Grant is my middle name, so I can say Richard Grant. The golds obviously stand out. The silvers are pretty darn good wines, too, but when it's no award, you don't really want to encourage it.
Okay, now here's a really basic question. When you're tasting wine for a period of time, how do you cleanse your palate so that the wine you're drinking now doesn't get itself confused with the wine you just had 10 seconds ago?
The big secret is don't ever swallow for any reason. Just rinse your mouth out with water, and we use carbonated water and spit it out commonly, and we do that. And the other thing is those olives, the Graber olives are terrific for that. Just have an olive every now and then, and it keeps your mouth clean. The only way to really ruin your taste for the day is start swallowing, and then you're no good in 15 minutes. You're no good at tasting anymore. It has nothing to do with the alcohol. It's just that it screws up your taste ability.
301?
Silver.
Bronze. Solid silver. Okay. Anything to talk about? Doug Frost is the name.
I'm a
master sommelier, master of wine that does a lot of teaching and writing. Michigan is now a very consistent source of lovely, delicate, delicious white wines in general. I think Riesling, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris can all be really relied upon, but there's a number of other grapes that may, with emphasis on the conditional, may turn out to be really lovely here. Grunewettliner, I'm pushing for Albarino. I think that should happen here, but there are other grapes as well. And there's some lovely hybrid grapes up here. Vignol had some delicious Vignol today. Red wine has been a mixed bag up here for a long time, and with 12 being the sort of representation of most of the red wines here, it's a pretty good year to show red wine. So we found some really lovely reds.
Next Thursday is a reception here at MSU that will see the award winners being presented their medals.
Yes, we have a public reception. We love to invite members of the public to come and attend and sample the gold medal winning wines from the competition. We do trophy presentations in the rear courtyard of the Kellogg Hotel and Conference Center at 5 o'clock, and then we proceed into the Big Ten room where we have over 100 wines that are the best wines from this competition available for people to sample, and tickets are available by going to michiganwines.com website, and you can order them online. Tickets are available at the door, but advanced tickets are at a slight discount.
Linda Jones is the Executive Director of the Michigan Grape and Wine Industry Council. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.
And Mark, just a couple of hours after I finished producing this story, the Michigan Wine Competition awardees were named. In total, 52 wines won gold medals. 8 of them achieved the coveted Best in Class. And you can see those winners online at michiganwines.com.
Great, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you.